Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I look at the number of strikes going on around the country, and as I've been saying, you should right now be adopting a striker. Find over at the AFL-CIO's website, AFLCIO.org, /strike map. There are strikes going on across the country. Find a picket line and adopt a striker. Go out there, walk shoulder to shoulder, hear their stories, take what I've been calling the master's class in working class economics, and hear why they're out there, the issues that are facing them, and put all the political stuff aside. Fight the good fight, fight the righteous fight, which is workers earning better wages, hours, conditions, not just for those folks, but for everyone. And I'm going to talk with somebody here who it's been, I guess, 6 weeks now that the Kellogg strike has been going on. The workers with the BCTGM, the Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco, and Grain Millers Union, have been on strike there. That's why I've asked Heather Green to come talk with us. Heather is a warehouse crew lead. She's also a member of BCTGM Local 3G there in Battle Creek, Michigan. Heather, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks, Rick. It's nice to be here.
So this is entering week six of what really should not be this lengthy of a strike. From what I understand, you guys aren't asking for anything that's too outrageous. A little time with your families, ending a two-tier wage structure that is screwing over the next generation. Doesn't seem all that much to me, but yet here we are.
No, you're right. It's like right now we're at that point where you're arguing with your toddler at the front door about putting their shoes on. We are this close to getting their shoes on their feet. It's the standoff, if you will, here. It the big issue is about this two-tier wage system. They went back to the table last week. Their proposals. they adjusted the one proposal to leave the pathway to full-time employment, and their proposal states that they would move from transitional to full-time in the same manner that they did before, which was completely at the company's discretion around a moving target. If we thought that they would actually they would hold to the contract terms that they agreed to regarding movement to that legacy status, we wouldn't be fighting about it. But because they didn't do it the way they said they would throughout the term of our last contract, we don't have any faith that they were going to continue to do it. So that's why we came into this negotiation saying this has to go. It's bad news.
Yeah, and as I understand, Heather, and some of the folks that I've talked to, it's harming the ability to hire and keep people, which ends up, for longtime employees, putting them in a situation where now they're doing tons of forced overtime and their family life balance is off and it's costing the company more money. It seems like, to fix this problem would help the company thrive and survive into the future, but also it would make happier employees and people wanting and willing to stay, which seems kind of like a common sense thing, especially if the company's whining that they can't get people to come work for them.
Oh, absolutely. In their last set of the proposals about the transitionals, it says 25% of them over the last year transitioned to full-time. But what they don't tell you is that 40% of them quit because they don't want to work for a $12 to $14 less an hour, less benefits, working 7 days a week with forced overtime. They're devalued. Nobody wants to work there. So they can't hire and they can't keep them.
Yeah. I mean, so you go back to this and again, this two-tier wage system, which, in my view, and you can help me through this, is solely put into place to divide the workplace, to keep, each segment pitted against each other. And this is a union busting tactic that we've seen in a bunch of other places, because you create that kind of jealousy that, hey, you sold me out. And now I've got to work for less wages with less benefits. And this is a problem. It's a problem for the union that has to be solved if you're going to be moving forward as well.
Oh, absolutely. And over the last year, it did get progressively worse through the pandemic. vacancies, not being able to hire. You know, they wanted to go into these negotiations with an exhausted, divided workforce. And funny how that worked out. All it really did was, all it really accomplished was uniting 1,400 people behind a common goal, and that is respect, for employees to be treated with respect in the workplace.
Yeah, and again, it comes back to that respect that's so important. Now, you brought up the pandemic. Yeah, this is one of those things that's kind of been a theme in every strike and workers that I've talked to. You know, you were heroes. You were essential. You were patriotic. You were feeding America. I'm sure you've heard all of these platitudes.
I have a T-shirt that says Kellogg Strong that I got for working through the pandemic. You know, we were carrying cereal. We were carrying breakfast for the whole country. Yes, we were.
At least you got the T-shirt, I guess, right?
So, there's something. I got a T-shirt.
So you can't say you didn't get anything out of this. But, you know, in talking about that, and look, you know, there have been people I've talked to across the country who said, look, we took pride in that. We showed up to make them the products that got out, that fed America, and ultimately made them massive amounts of profit. And at this moment, it seems kind of like a slap in the face that they're not willing to share in the profits that our hard work actually created.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Kay Helene came to the Battle Creek plant and stood in the parking lot back there of the warehouse back by the shipping office to make that commercial about the sun's going to rise again on a new day. And during their whole Kellogg Strong movement through the pandemic, you know, and then a year later, they're talking about closing, sending 90 jobs to Mexico, cutting 170 jobs. Then we go into these negotiations talking about our wages and stuff aren't sustainable. And I'm like, sir, you stood here in this parking lot and patted us all on the back. I stood next to the man. You know, we're doing a beautiful thing here. And a year later,
you're expendable.
We are so devalued into the company, we have no value.
And now you're expendable. And the threat, especially during this moment of moving jobs to Mexico, is one of those things that is kind of the ultimate stab in the back, especially coming out of the pandemic. At least that's my sense of it. How do you take that?
Well, you mentioned earlier about pride, and one of their big proposals at the beginning was to remove our union logo from the box. Now, anything union made, we're proud of that. We wanted that union logo to stay. So round two of negotiations, they offered with modifications. They would leave the logo with modifications. How do you modify something that tiny? So here's where that becomes so important. This box of cereal was made here in the United States. You take that off, the consumer has no way of knowing. The consumer, the profits to go up because the consumer doesn't have the option of shopping at a made in Mexico section of the grocery store.
Absolutely.
Where the labor savings are passed on. And in my opinion, that is just the dirtiest way to play pool, is on the uninformed consumer on where their food is coming from.
No, you're absolutely right. But also to strip away your pride in that product. And look, I'm one of the people, and I ask my listeners to look for the label as well. I mean, you know, you go back to the Oreos, you guys ran a great campaign when Nabisco shut down the Oreo plant in Chicago to check the labels. And I've been saying, you know, for years, look for that union label. And BCTGM is one of the unions that, you know, it's right there front and center, whether it's the bread I buy or the snack cakes or the cereal. You know, I look for that label, and I know other people do as well. So by stripping that off, we then don't know Is this made in Mexico? Was this made by union labor? Because I personally want to reward companies who use union labor, because I know they're paying reasonable wages with decent health and retirement security and some say on the job. And to me, that's, as a consumer, one of the most important things. So by stripping that off, you're taking that from me and ultimately making me look somewhere else.
Right. You know, and you asked about, you know, the made in Mexico, the current labor environment right now, your blue collar American jobs, American made, I said this to another lady, it is as American as apple pie. It is the backbone of this country. No one wants to see us lose apple pie. So we are fighting to keep these jobs in America. We want, you know, we would love to see families only need two incomes instead of three or four to be able to send a child to college, you know, to afford braces. So this, the movement is, yeah, you know, you mentioned it. There's not really much in this for me, but there's a lot in this movement for America, for what we consider our homegrown values.
No, and that's a great point you've made, because, you know, some of the people that I've talked to said, look, you know, this contract isn't about making me any wealthier. I'd like a little time off with my family. I'd like to not have to be forced into working so much overtime. But it's about what's being left behind. It's about the next generation. And sadly, what happened, you know, during a period in this country is we were okay with selling out the unborn for short-term gains. We've now learned the error of our ways, and these two-tier wage systems, they have to go. They cannot be in place, because what you end up with is a divided workplace and somewhere where, you know, ultimately you're not going to get people to come work.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there was a time when concessions were considered and given because companies were struggling. That is not the case today. They are not struggling. They are making billions and billions of profits. So it's time to level that scale out a bit.
Yeah. It's your CEO. How much did they pocket?
About 11 million.
Just 11 million?
Just that. That's it.
And we can't seem to figure out how to share a little bit of those billions of dollars of profits. And this is where, you know, look, I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on.
Nope,
this
exactly.
Dynamic is backwards and it's screwed up. When the investor class and the CEO class are wealthier than they've ever been, and they're taking an oversized chunk of the wealth that your labor creates, there's a problem there. And I don't care where you are on the political spectrum, what's going on is wrong. And that's why I've been saying, find a picket line, get out there, talk to people like you, march with folks like you shoulder to shoulder, and find out why, and find out how we can help. So there's the question, how do we help?
Well, you guys, we have some GoFundMe sites available if you guys want to put that out there for people to make donations. You know, I love your idea about adopt a striker. There's nothing better than to have someone hang out with you on the picket line. Our families come out and hang out with us, friends. We've gotten to meet the families of some of our other coworkers, people honking and waving. So it's always, and the other thing are just other locals, other businesses. And you mentioned parties. We got people from both parties showing up on our picket lines with cider and donuts because they know that this fight is the right fight.
No, ultimately, it's the righteous fight. And this is where I tell people, you know, you may feel uneasy. Show up. There's going to be someone like you willing to greet them and say, hey, you know, this is the story and this is why it's important. Because here's the other part. I know that community support and strikes like this are the ultimate in getting this done as quickly as possible. The more people we get behind you, the more people we say what's going on is wrong, the more people who are writing letters to the editors and calling radio programs and emailing Kellogg's, the shorter this strike can be, because 6 weeks, this is already too long.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny you should say there right there what you said at the end, you know, Kellogg's is saying, you know, let them vote on they want us to vote. Well, I would say to your listener, if you go to Google right now, to the Google search bar, and you type in Kellogg strike, what comes up is the Kellogg negotiation website. So what they've done is they have put they have a right to hard bargain tactics. That's fine. They can do that. But what they're doing is they're lying to the general public. They need to be called to task for that. No. Send them the email. I encourage all of your listeners to encourage Kellogg's to go back to the table and negotiate with our elected negotiating committee. Stop sending us this crap in the mail. We empowered them with a strike authorization vote, a strike permission vote. They need to get back to the table and bargain in good faith.
Yeah, not bargain in with the court of public opinion. Exactly. And this is what a lot of these companies are doing right now. Because they're trying to play on this kind of class jealousy that you guys make pretty decent wages. You have pretty good benefits. And they want to play on the fact that a lot of people don't without pointing out the fact that they're trying to take what you have and systematically make it worse. Exactly. And that's where I think the messaging in this is so important in that, look, we want you to do well. I want everyone to do well. Especially in a company like Kellogg that has been so profitable. This idea, this in defense of the market nonsense, has been the rationale for depressing wages and destroying benefits for way too long. It's time for them to share.
That's right.
So walk me through real quick, and I got another second here, the products, because I've called for a boycott. I'm boycotting all Kellogg-made products at this point. Is there a list that you guys are saying that we shouldn't be buying? Is there some way of consumers to jump into this? What are you guys doing?
We're not necessarily calling for a boycott. Like I said, for all your listeners, buy that. You go to the store, you really need some cereal, look for that logo, buy that. You know why? Because there's not a single box of Union Made cereal available that was made after October 4th.
There you go.
So run it out. Use it up. Make sure you're not buying the stuff. I'll show you this one that says product of Mexico. Don't buy that crap.
There you go. Heather.
Buy American made.
There you go. Buy American, buy Union. Good stuff. Heather Green, I appreciate you taking a little time for us. Great talking with you.
Thanks, Rick.
Like I said, find a picket line. Find one. Adopt a striker. Do that immediately, AFL-CIO/strikemap. Easy to find. Hit that picket line. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.